Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Let's Get Real on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host, and we are back live after our long hiatus. We are back with Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. And we here at Let's Get Real, in the Let's Get Real bunker, we just want to say how happy we are to be alive and back on the air after dodging the bullet of the Mayan apocalypse. If you've been hiding out in a cave for the past year or so, or you haven't left your fallout shelter yet, I can safely say to you now that it didn't happen. So it's okay. You can come out now. Or at least not here in New York City. It didn't happen, which makes perfect sense since, you know, our city is mostly filled with Jews and we are the chosen people after all. So, you know, just like on September 11th, we were spared. And if there is a God, after all, and it's a just God, I doubt that New York would be the first target of his or her wrath, because I can think of much better places to vaporize, like maybe John Boehner's homestead, or, I don't know, Walmart headquarters, someplace like that. So, despite my warning shows last year about being ready for Armageddon and for the apocalypse, we're okay for now. So, just make sure that you every once in a while go back and re-listen to those episodes just as like a refresher course, just in case. Now, that said, we do have midterm elections coming up, and we do have the mayoral primaries in New York. Not like the corporate middle American tourist apocalypse over here could get any worse, but we do have that specter always looming over us here in 21st century America. And while I was on vacation, I also read Cloud Atlas, so I kind of have a good idea of what's actually to come in the future. But I do know that the future of Cloud Atlas is a world where even at 45 years old, you still have to look up half the words in a book, because if you have read Cloud Atlas, I don't even know where those words come from. They must be from the future because I didn't understand them. But anyway, despite our best escalation attempts and massive troop mobilization also, and our surge in the war on Christmas, which also occurred right around the time of the potential apocalypse, that blessed and holy day also came and went without a hitch, too, even though we've been trying really hard in the war against Christmas to take it down. Yet again, we've failed, although that's a war that's starting to seem more like the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, long and interminable and unwinnable. But the point is that we're bringing the fight to Christmas, and that's really what the holiday season is all about. And so, speaking of apocalypse, have we talked about foodiness lately? Because, you know, Let's Get Real is a show about foodiness. Now, it's also a show about The Matrix and about Maude and about Little House on the Prairie and very often about Wall-E and Soylent Green, but mostly it's about foodiness. And just like how Facebook has robbed us of actual friends and replaced them with virtual friends, or what I am now calling friendiness, foodiness has robbed us of the nutrition that we get from real food and replaced it with foodiness nutrition. And since this is radio, you just have to visualize the quotes that I'm making around the words. So, what is foodiness nutrition? I mean, we all know it, although we can't always all see it, because we've been so brainwashed by the foodiness industry that we just kind of take it as legit. Real solutions to our fake food problems. It's what they, the industry, call enhancements to our food. It's things like calcium added to orange juice and omega-3s added to peanut butter and inulin fiber added to artificially sweetened and colored yogurt to help you poop better, or whole grains put into candy, flavored cereals, or vitamins put into artificial sweeteners. Talk about down the rabbit hole. Or slapping the term organic onto colored flavored sugar water juice pouches for kids, or the new Fiber Pepsi in Japan, which is designed to make you full and help you lose weight. So since you're eating foodiness and not food, you're not getting any real nutrition. Foodiness solves it for you by putting it back into foodiness products. It's just a foodiness solution to a foodiness made problem. We've been over this before. So after eating those fat-free donuts or the zero-calorie Sprite or the pizza-flavored Pringles, you can make up for the lost nutrition with other foodiness products. And what all of this is doing is just allowing the public, which is to say all the wrong kind of people, which is, alas, almost everybody now, to continue to eat junk food but feel like they're getting their whole grains and their vitamin C and their omega-3s and their calcium. And if you've seen the commercials lately for fiber bars, I don't know what brand they are, but you know what I'm talking about. There's this girl, she's this like 20-something girl, and she's conscious about her weight, but she's about to give in and wolf down an entire bag of chocolate chip cookies, and then her boyfriend comes in, and he saves the day because he has a box of low-fat, 90-calorie chocolate chip-flavored fiber bars, which she could eat instead. Now, I would just like to point out that they could have just had sex instead and forgotten all about the chocolate chip cookies and probably filled the void that she was trying to fill with the cookies. Sorry, couldn't resist. The point is that she gets her cookie and her fiber. Now, what they don't show is what happens next, which is that after he leaves, she eats the entire box because she's miserable and unhappy, which is what one of Chris's friends did when she bought the fiber bars home, hoping it would keep her from eating to junk food. And now Chris tells me she's looking into getting her second gastric bypass operation. So this is how the foodiness rabbit hole works. You don't eat food, so you don't get nutrition. So you get dragged further down the foodiness rabbit hole by foodiness products enhanced with the nutrition foodiness robbed you of in the first place. P.S. This is also how addiction works, which is something we'll be exploring soon in an upcoming show called 12 Steps to Foodiness Recovery. Now, the problem is that we've been pushed so far down the rabbit hole with enhancements that we're forgetting where nutrition comes from. Or in the case of kids growing up today, they may not ever even know. For them, vitamin C will always be something that was added to their Capri Sun pouch, or their whole grains will always come from their toddler-sized bag of Goldfish crackers. It's like growing up thinking that being alone on your device at home is socializing. If you've never been to a party, how would you know? So we've talked about this a lot in past episodes, like there's no such thing as whole grain Captain Crunch and vitamins come from food, not gummies. But we've never really had a show devoted to foodiness nutrition, nor had an actual expert on the show. We've just had me blathering on about it until you want to scream and unfriend me on Facebook and stop listening. So today we get all legit. And we talk with Let's Get Real's favorite nutrition educator, Kristen Wortman, who is here to school us on the latest foodiness nutrition crazes, exactly how fat and sick they are making us, and what's wrong with low-fat, low-calorie fiber-enhanced chocolate chip cookie bars, and how to get your calcium without having to eat a bag of fat-free potato chips with added calcium to get there. Now, you'll notice that I call Kristen a nutrition educator as opposed to a nutritionist. We here at Let's Get Real hate mainstream nutritionists, especially around the compound, because most of them have been educated in programs funded and designed by the foodiness industry, and they follow the USDA guidelines, which are designed by the government to make people eat more commodity grain crops. Kristen is not one of them. Kristen went to Bauman College for Holistic Nutrition and Culinary Arts in Berkeley, California. So if it's in Berkeley, you know it's got to be good. She's also got a master's degree in literature from UCSC and is a journalist focusing on the intersections of food, health, politics, and culture. Kristen's work has appeared in The Atlantic, The Huffington Post, Civil Eats, and Grist. She's a frequent guest on radio and TV and has been interviewed by NPR, the BBC, and the Los Angeles Times, amongst others, and on Let's Get Real several times. Her work has also been referenced in dozens of publications, including The New York Times. She's a graduate of the, what was your program called at Bauman?
Nutrition education
program, which is 100% endorsed by Let's Get Real as foodiness free. And if you remember, Kristen is also a full-time member of the Let's Get Real Foodiness Reeducation Camp Board of Directors and has her own office in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. You can also follow her on Twitter at Kristen Wortman or find her at KristenWortman.com. So, Kristen, welcome yet again to Let's Get Real.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to have you here. You add an air of legitimacy to my usual endless bullshitting. So it's good. You're the real thing. Okay. So the first question we have for you is, what actually is nutrition? How do we define nutrition? Because there's a whole lot of stuff out there and nobody really knows what it is.
I think to answer this question, it's really good to put in perspective sort of the way human beings have evolved on this planet. Mm-hmm. So human beings have been on the planet for roughly 200,000 years. Of that time, we've been an agrarian society, meaning we've been farming the land for 10,000 of those years. The industrial food system has only been in existence for 75 of those years. So that's a real blip when it comes to our history. Mm-hmm. So human beings have evolved to eat real foods that we ate 200,000 years ago, and not the foods we're eating now, which are largely an experiment. And I think we're seeing the results of that experiment. And you look at how, you know, people are becoming so overweight and are developing chronic diet-related diseases. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget, you know, especially kids and even people in our generation don't realize there's this amnesia about what real food is because they were born into this system. Mm-hmm. And they don't know that industrial foods are not real foods. They're
right. You know, there's an amnesia. There's like a distrust even.
Right.
When presented with the real thing, people don't know what to make of it. And they don't even trust it.
Because the industrial food system and big food corporations and advertising have done an amazing job of convincing people that these are the normal foods that we should all be eating.
Right. That you should get your omega-3 from your orange juice and not from fish or greens.
Yeah. So all of that is to say that real foods are whole foods that come directly from nature and are not adulterated or refined or processed, which is the exact opposite of any kind of industrial food product you'll see on a grocery store shelf.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we now think of nutrition in a way as an enhancement of some kind.
Right.
It's like you don't just sort of take it for granted that you're eating a whole real food and that's going to nutrify, nourish you.
Right.
It's you have to take that whole real food, process it, turn it into something completely devoid, and then add back in to it.
And that's what the industry created this term, functional foods.
Right.
Because there's the implication that a real food, a whole food, is not functioning or not functional for some reason. So even the term itself is really like subverting the whole meaning of food when you think about it. Because all foods, all real foods, have a very important function in our bodies and in keeping us healthy. And industrial foods have none of those functions, but they've used this term by adding this stuff back in to convince people that that's what they need. I mean, it's really, it's very insidious
it's
what
evil.
They've done.
It almost like negates the power of food. Mm-hmm. It's like saying to food, you're not really legit. You're not food.
You're not doing it for us.
You're
we need these
us.
Products.
We
in
need
order.
To kill you and then implant this thing in your brain. And then, it is. It's really insidious.
Very.
I had to stop there and think about that for a minute. Okay. So that's how we define actual real nutrition, which is obvious to, I'm sure, most of our listeners that it's from real whole food. But like what I find interesting about you is that you don't even believe in things like low-fat dairy. Like in your world, like it's whole milk or nothing.
Yes. Well, I mean, whole milk is a whole food. Low-fat milk or skim milk are not whole foods. When the milk comes out of the cow or whatever, you know, goat or... It's whole milk and it contains the fat, all the fat that's part of it. The fat is actually really important for you to be able to utilize all the vitamins that are in the milk. So, for example, milk contains fat-soluble vitamins A and D. Mm-hmm. They're fat-soluble, meaning that your body needs the fat in order to absorb them.
Right.
When they strip the milk of the fat, in the case of skim milk or low-fat milk, they then add synthetic A and D back in because they've just taken it out. But since your body can't absorb A and D without fat, that's useless.
It's useless. Yeah.
It's completely useless.
Right.
And go ahead.
No, the D has to also be added back in because cows aren't grazing.
Exactly.
And they're not getting the D from the sunlight and the photosynthesis and the grass. And,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I now having known you for a couple of years and become friends with you, I have switched. I've ditched all my low-fat dairy.
Good.
Yeah.
Good job.
No, I learn. I can learn, too, from you. After an entire lifetime of drinking skim.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. So... tell us what you know about how foodiness nutrition or these enhancements actually work, as in, you know, how do they do it? Peanut butter with omega-3s, which is, it's so wrong in so many ways. It's like, Omega-3s come from fish, and they come from leafy greens and mm-hmm. algae. Mm-hmm. They don't come from peanuts.
No.
They don't come from citrus. They don't come from cookies.
Right.
So where, industrially, where do they come from? Do they come from fish oil? They come from fish products?
Right. So they're, in the case of peanut butter, they're taking extracts of, I think it's sardine oil, anchovy oil. There's tilapia gelatin in there. So they're extracting it out of the fish, and then they're putting it into the peanut butter, and it's supposedly odorless and tasteless. And so kids who don't like fish can, this is their pitch, is
right.
kids who don't like fish can eat this peanut butter and get the same benefits, but it's absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting case when you talk about peanut butter, because the benefits we're getting from fish are the omega-3 fatty acids, mm-hmm. which most people know are really important for our health.
Right.
And particularly for children and brain development and pregnant women. But when they take it and they put it in the peanut butter is very high in omega-6 fatty acids.
Right.
And omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids compete for absorption in our cell walls. And that means that no matter how many omega-3s you take in, if you're taking in too many omega-6s, which most Americans mm-hmm. are, you'll never receive the benefit from the three. So you're really negating the mm-hmm. the benefit of the three in a product like peanut butter. And the problem is the ratio, we should be having a one-to-one ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 in mm-hmm. our diet. Most Americans, it's somewhere around, I've read estimates of 10 to 1 mm-hmm. or even up to 20 to 1.
Yeah, I've read that.
And the reason is omega-6 fatty acids are in the cell to promote rigidity and cell wall strength, which also means inflammation, and they promote clotting, and they also promote fat storage. Omega-3s promote, they're anti-inflammatory, and they're good for metabolizing sugar, and they're good for permeability of cell walls. So this is all really important for heart health and mm-hmm. Our arteries being really healthy.
Right.
So this balance is way off in our diet. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's all this hype around, let's add omega-3s right. to our foods.
Into everything.
Right, but it's not getting at the real problem, which is we need to change our diet and get away from all these omega-6s, which are coming from our grain-based diet.
Yeah.
They're in all the oils, vegetable oils we eat, and they're in all the grains that are fed to all the animals that we then eat.
Right, it's all the corn and cottonseed and soybean oil and all that. I remember
vegetable oils, cotton, all the oils, yeah.
Reading a study years ago about Israelis, and there was this real conundrum about why Israelis had such high levels of heart disease mm-hmm. when they basically eat this really, you know, so-called heart-healthy Mediterranean diet. Mm-hmm. And it was because they were, because a lot of Israelis keep kosher, they were cooking everything with vegetable oil instead of cooking in animal fats
right.
or instead of even using olive oil. And so their level of omega-6s was so high because everything was cooked in cottonseed, soybean, those sorts of oils, that they still had these really high levels of heart disease, even though everything they ate was supposed to be, you know, pointing toward low levels
of heart disease. Well, they, it's backwards. They should be eating more of the animal fats.
Right.
And more omega-3s.
Yeah. Butter. More butter.
Butter from grass-fed.
From grass-fed cattle. Yeah. So we sort of already covered this, but, you know, my question is, do these enhancements work? Is it possible for you to absorb any of this or for you to use it? You know, it's like taking this nutrient so out of context,
right, exactly.
you know, taking it out of its matrix of where it's naturally supposed to occur. Right. Is there any proof that any of them even work? Is it, you know, just as good to get your calcium from your orange juice as it is to get it from dairy or other sources? Right. What people don't realize is you can get dairy from other sources and mm-hmm. then... I mean, you can get calcium from other sources than dairy.
Yes,
also, you can get it from seeds and
kale
and things like that. Broccoli. Yeah.
Well, of course, the answer is no. They're not.
Well, I kind of figured you'd say that.
They're not going to work. And you're right. The food, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, they all exist within a matrix of the food. And it's not the same to extract them out of that food in a lab, then reinsert them into some other food product and expect to get the same results. Foods are synergistic. There's all these elements, some which have not even been discovered yet, that work together mm-hmm. to create the good health, you know, in our bodies and for us from whole food sources.
Yeah.
So it's never the same to take an extract and put it into another food.
You're just sort of creating these like Franken foods, basically.
Yeah.
Taking it out and putting it into something else. And I'm wondering what the effect will be. And using the American human public as a gigantic lab rat.
Right. And that's basically. The scariest part is that they've actually convinced people that these foods, they are doing this job and they are healthful. I mean, people buy these foods all the time and they're living on these foods. And so it's a flat out lie, you know, and it's really... You know, and it's hurting untold numbers of people. So it's kind of criminal, if you ask me.
It is. I wonder, you know, people say that soda is going to be the next tobacco. you know, where the Surgeon General and the tobacco industry and everybody was lying to us for so long about the about the risks of tobacco and you know, saying that they had health benefits and stuff like that. And that that all came out. Now people are saying that, you know, soda is going to be the next big tobacco, that finally people are going to realize how damaging soda is. I'm wondering if we'll reach a point where that'll happen with food, but I'm not so sure because it's so pervasive and it's so broad now, and it's reached its like tentacles into sort of every aspect of our food. It's hard to say. If, you know, 100 years from now, are we going to look back at this era and say, like, what the fuck were we doing? What did we do to our food? I mean, there are people like me and you who sit here talking to each other about it, but you know, people who are watching Honey Boo Boo, I'm not quite sure they're really paying that much
attention. They're not paying attention. But we can only hope that, you know, the industrial food system we all know is not sustainable.
Yeah.
So it's guaranteed to come crashing down at a certain point, or to sort of gradually not, you know, blast. So at a certain point, I think we will realize that, you know, we've done what we've done is a huge disaster.
Let's hope so. On that ominous note, let's take a little break. And when we come back, let's talk about some of the scariest foodiness nutrition enhanced products that we've come along in a while.
You're listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Have we lost all control? This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery. In our industrial world, most wines have become brands, but the wines I love are so much more. Fine wine is a civilizing substance that connects us to nature. It cannot be stamped out in a factory. If you're listening to this great show, you probably eat different. I urge you to drink different too. Go deeper. Cane5.com.
Every Wednesday at noon, Dorothy Cann Hamilton, founder and CEO of the International Culinary Center, interviews the top chefs in the world on Chef Story. Hear from chefs like Christina Tosi.
I'm going to be the best pastry cook this restaurant's ever seen.
Francis Malman.
Cooking with fire, it's very feminine, it's very fragile.
And Jacques Pepin.
I was invited to work at the White House for John Kennedy.
Learn how the greats become great every Wednesday at 12 p.m. on Chef Story at HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. Remember that you can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. You can also find me on Facebook. Just look for Let's Get Real on Facebook and become a fan of the show. Send me your questions. Send me your comments. You should also check out letsgetrealshow.com. That's my website where you can listen to every episode I've ever done and also look at other videos and all kinds of fun things on there. And you can also listen to any Heritage Radio Network show ever on heritageradionetwork.org. You can also find them all on iTunes. And remember that Heritage Radio Network is now a nonprofit, member-supported station. You should be a member. If you are listening, you need to be a member. It's like PBS, but we have a lot less money. And we don't have the giant corporate sponsors, so it's up to you, people. Become a member. Go to heritageradionetwork.org. Become a member. So on the show tonight, here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter secret bunker chamber, we have Kristen Wortman, who is on staff at the Foodiness Reeducation Camp. She is our in-house nutrition educator, but not nutritionist, because we don't like nutritionists, because they go on talk shows and talk about how people should eat less salt and less saturated fat. And we don't agree with that, do
we? No, absolutely not.
Not at all. And they also say things like, you should eat more oily fish, like salmon and tuna. And then they don't talk about any of the problems associated with salmon and tuna. And then everybody goes and runs out and starts eating more tuna, and then the tuna population collapses, and it's all their fault.
Or they're eating farm salmon, which is really terrible.
We can't even talk about that tonight. That's a whole other show, which I've done, by the way. Okay, so Kristen and I are talking tonight about foodiness nutrition, in quotes, products. Products where You take a whole food, you process it, you industrialize it, you turn it into a foodiness processed food. And then, because it's basically become a worthless pile of shit, you have to add back into it foodiness nutrition components back into it to turn it into something that you can actually sell and call food. So let's do a hall of shame. Let's talk about some of the worst ones we've come across lately.
Okay.
Go ahead.
One that I like to talk about is it's a fiber one cereal, which I know a lot of people eat. Actually, doctors tell a lot of patients to eat it because they have high cholesterol. And it's called Fiber One Antioxidant Yogurt Berry Crunch.
Right. It like has all the words, all the exactly. right words in the title.
Right. The yogurt, the berry, the antioxidant, fiber. People look at that and they think it's really good for them. And who can blame them? Because they've been convinced that it is. But the problem with this one has it contains more than 13 different additives, preservatives, food dyes. It has red number 40, blue number 1, which has been known to cause allergic reactions in some people, mutations leading to cancer in lab animals. It has BHT, which is preservative, monoglycerides, cellulose gum, and the list goes on. It's a terrible food product. I think it has over 40 different ingredients, but people are eating it thinking that it's actually doing something beneficial
for them.
That
it's full of yogurt and berries and fiber.
And antioxidants.
And antioxidants, even though it's just processed grain. Yeah. It probably doesn't, a lot of those products that say they have yogurt in them don't actually have actual yogurt in them, or they have dehydrated.
They have like non-fat milk powder a lot of times.
Yeah, with some sort of culture added to make it tangy, and it's not. There's no actual yogurt.
No, definitely. Yogurt is a live food.
Right.
You can't put it
in
a
cereal.
I mean, it's
so crazy.
It's outrageous.
Right. Yogurt is a living thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what's so good for you about it.
Exactly. Billions of little micro flora and fauna in your gut. Yeah. And then the berry part of it.
Yeah, but that's where they're telling you that you're getting the antioxidants from, because berries do contain very high amounts of antioxidants, but not when they're some kind of, you know, extract of a berry or even just some flavor, you know.
Right. Well, what they do in a lot of those cereals is they'll take little bits of like apple pulp because it's so much cheaper, and then flavor it and color it to look like a berry.
Right.
I call those flavor dots.
Yeah.
They put those in. I think you're probably better off eating actual crunch berries. In Captain Crunch, crunch berries, I think, are more nutritious, actually, than these.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. We did a study.
And the thing about cereal, you know, people eat this every day for breakfast, and it's probably the very worst thing you could eat for breakfast because it spikes your insulin.
It's got so much sugar.
So much sugar. And this one, I think, has 13 grams of sugar, 12. And it has refined grain, which also spikes your blood sugar. So if you ever notice, you eat a bowl of cereal. Most people eat more than one bowl of cereal, but then you're hungry. Mm-hmm. Like 2 hours later, and that's because your insulin went up and then you're starving, you know, and that wasn't, you know, you should eat eggs.
You should eat eggs or quinoa like me.
Yeah.
Quinoa. With an egg, which is what I eat.
That's a great breakfast.
Quinoa, an egg, chia, you know, turmeric. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about it. I put a little nori on there. Some chili flakes, sometimes pumpkin seed oil.
Wow, great
it's
job.
Endless. It takes me like 45 minutes just to
don't
do a
say
sample.
That.
No.
Well, you know what I do? I like if you can have 2 eggs in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In butter. Done.
I know. Mm-hmm. On my video, on the pilot for the video, I did a little race with myself where I microwaved like a pre-scrambled egg frozen thing.
Wow.
And I scrambled eggs in a pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I won. The scrambled eggs won by like 3 minutes.
Yes.
I won.
It's a very fast food.
Yeah.
And
eggs
it's
are great.
Inexpensive.
Yeah. Eggs are great. But you have to eat the right kind of eggs.
Yeah. But even getting pastured organic eggs from your farmer's market or good health food store.
Yeah.
They're still, you buy a dozen eggs, and even if they're like $5 or $6.
Oh, I know.
You still, per egg.
You don't have to tell me.
Per egg, you're saving money. You're spending way less than if you went out and bought this Fiber One Antioxidant Yogurt Berry Crunch.
Right. So, oh, you know, you're preaching to the egg choir here. I mean, I know. You don't have to tell me. I spend $7 on my eggs.
Yes.
And if you amortize it, if you break it out per egg, you're only spending like 40 cents an egg.
Right. And you get more nutritional bang for your buck because there have been studies to show that those eggs have like 4 times the amount
of
various nutrients than a store-bought egg.
We've done many episodes on eggs here. Whenever I run out of a topic, I just go back to talking about eggs.
Well, they're nature's perfect food.
I think so, too. And I get so angry with the whole, like, still places that are about egg whites.
Oh, it's so outdated, and it's always shocking to me that people still will only... I have to tell people repeatedly to eat the entire egg.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, you know, that shows you how pervasive the industry has been in teaching people that these things
about
are not
cholesterol.
Good for us. Cholesterol.
If we could just get rid of the word cholesterol from the American vernacular, we would be so much better
off.
and just eat more egg yolks.
Yes.
Okay, so the fiber one, we know that's horrible. Mm-hmm. Now, what about, speaking of fiber, the new Pepsi with added fiber?
Yeah.
Now, you just published your article about Beyonce and the Pepsi deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that published?
Huffington Post.
On the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. Okay, so people should check that out because that's a really excellent,
thanks,
well-written article. But what about the Pepsi with fiber?
I actually thought this was a joke when I first
saw
it.
So did I.
I couldn't believe
I thought it was from The Onion.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it was an actual product, but alas, it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you can't put fiber into a Pepsi product and think that it's going to have any kind of nutritional benefit for you.
What are they using, inulin? What
kind I think of it's inulin. Yeah.
Like in that yogurt.
Right.
The Jamie Lee Curtis yogurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a ridiculous concept. Mm-hmm. And but they know what they're doing because a lot of people are addicted to soda.
Yeah.
It makes you gain weight. That's a fact. Right. It's full of sugar.
Right. And diet calories. Does too.
And diet does too. And but they want people to keep drinking it, but they want to tell them that they can also drink it and lose weight because they're going to be getting their fiber, which is going to fill them up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the truth is soda makes you more hungry, mm-hmm, not less.
Sure.
So, you know, it's really amazing.
It's mind-boggling.
It is.
I'm gobsmacked. What really just horrified me also was that they're introducing it first in Japan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think of the Japanese as people who have had this traditional food culture for thousands and thousands, mm-hmm, of years and who are still very involved and very attached to it. Yet the Japanese are also huge consumers of foodiness products and junk food. And they're really into fad kind of diet products
and
all kinds of stuff like that, which is really disturbing.
Right.
But you'd think in a place like Japan, like, really, people just eat your real food.
Yeah.
Eat your Japanese food, and why, and you're all thin anyway. I mean, I don't get it.
Right. Look, well, I mean,
the Okinawans,
it's a huge market for for the big food industry. They're exporting these kinds of foods all over the world.
Yeah. Well, especially, you know, as soda consumption is actually going down, believe it or not, because everyone's drinking more like Gatorade and sweetened,
mm-hmm,
iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
They have to start going around the world. Actually, a friend of mine, you know what? I don't really like him that much. I'm not going to say his name. A colleague of mine works as an R&D chef. That's what he does, research and development. He creates products for food companies. And he just got a really lucrative gig with Pepsi. Pepsi just built a $50 million research center in, I can't remember where he said, I think in China somewhere. It was either China or India. He was telling me about it. $50 million research center. So that they can develop all sorts of new products for the Asian market, because that's their new big emerging market.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes over there and gets paid lots of money to develop these products, which is why I'm not friends with him anymore, because I've lost all respect for him.
Yeah.
And when I told him about my show, he was really hostile and scornful. So I was like, forget it. I'm defriending you. We're almost out of time. But what I want to ask you also is that you have a private practice. You see clients, and it's your practice is affiliated with a group of doctors?
Yeah, I worked with a group of doctors in Manhattan, the New York Medical Associates. They're cardiologists.
Mm-hmm. And so they are cardiologists who have kind of seen the light.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And after I gave a couple lectures and talks and provided them with all the literature, because I've done extensive reviews of all the studies and all the data. And once they saw that, I'd say, they're seeing the light.
They get it now.
Yeah.
It's not about low fat and low cholesterol
and
all of that. But the people who come in, you and I were talking about this when I saw you over the holidays, that you have people who come in who say to you, oh, no, I eat really healthy. You know, I eat Subway for lunch every day. And Subway's doing a really big new push this year, a new, like, healthy eating push where they compare themselves to all the other fast food restaurants and everything.
Right.
Let's just talk about Subway for a couple
that's
minutes.
That's actually one of my... I hate that more than I even hate McDonald's because of that fact.
Because they're
people,
lying. Yeah.
They're lying and people think it's healthy. Because like you mentioned, I have so many people say, I eat really well. I get a Subway sandwich for lunch and it has all these vegetables on it. You know, it has lettuce and it has a pepper.
Right,
and
a pepper.
And a tomato that's from God knows where
and
how many days old. And you know, so that's part of the problem is they're really tricking people into thinking that this is a healthful lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Subway is a terrible, terrible product. I
mean,
the food, the bread alone had like 40 ingredients in it. And all these terrible processed meats and all kinds of condiments that are full of, you know, sugar and hydrogenated oils, hydrogenated oils. And so, you know, the list goes on with Subway, but it's really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. So the So the patients who come in, they're heart patients. They're people who have had heart issues. Or what do they call it? Cardiac events.
Yes, or have high cholesterol or high blood pressure.
And you've had success working with them.
Yeah.
Changing their diets. Oh, yeah. And their cholesterol, getting them off statins and all of that stuff that is now turning out to be really wrong.
Right.
You posted something on Facebook the other day about, were those the doctors that you work for on Dr. Oz talking about?
No. Oh. Those are a couple other doctors that I know and do really good work, too.
So, I mean, I think that's amazing that they went on a show as mainstream as Dr. Oz. And
that was
listened.
Great. I thought they did a really good job. Mm-hmm. You can go online and find it. It's Dr. Johnny Bowden, who's a good nutritionist, and Dr. Steven Sinatra, who's a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job explaining why, you know, saturated fats from good quality sources are really good for us. And we shouldn't be eating low fat. And we have to really avoid sugar. We have to really avoid refined flour products. These are that's what's causing heart problems.
Right. Like what Robert Lustig has been talking about a lot.
Right.
Lately. I love him.
He's great.
He's great.
He's really, you know, if it weren't for him, we wouldn't be seeing a lot of the progress we're seeing in terms of people understanding how bad sugar is for us, which is probably the number one culprit in terms of heart disease and obesity and diabetes, obviously.
Yeah. I think maybe sugar's going to turn out to be the next tobacco.
I think so, because I think the studies are really starting to prove how harmful it is.
You can't really ignore it
anymore.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Any other products you want to mention before we go, because we're almost out of time? Anything else that we talked about?
I mean, I've seen like granola bars that have omega-3 fatty acids in them, orange juice with calcium in it. You know, all of those products, it's all marketing. So I would say, you know, if you see anything like that on the shelf, it has some kind of a marketing claim that's screaming out to you and, you know, approved by the American Heart Association. You'll see that a lot too. That's your clue.
Right. Just run away.
Don't eat that food.
Right.
So any food with a health claim like that is generally, as you would say, a foodiness product and not something we should be eating.
Right. If it has to kind of trumpet it in your face, it's not.
Right.
It's a lie.
Yes.
It's foodiness. If it comes in a package, basically, I say don't eat it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's come to.
Yeah, except for maybe, you know, olive oil.
Or like real, you know, raw nuts that you need to buy in a package.
Right, I mean,
or
things some, that,
like
you know,
rice, you know, brown rice that's in
butter.
A package.
Has to be wrapped in paper.
Has to be wrapped. But generally, anything that's boxed and packaged is not food.
Anything packaged for shelf stable, long life also is not food.
Right.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but it's always great to have you here in the Fallout Shelter. And remember, you can come and visit Kristen in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. We're taking reservations for the next upcoming midterm election apocalypse, so there'll be plenty of room. And like I said, you can follow her on Twitter at Kristen Wortman. You can follow me at Let's Get Real Show. Become a member of Heritage Radio, please. We need you. We love you. We want you. We're here to help. We really care. And we will see you next week on Let's Get Real. Thanks to Joe in the control room, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.